Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we're all here, and I'm glad to see you made it. He was wrong. As I'm sure many of you are aware, for some people, yesterday was supposed to bring the onset of Judgment Day. Following the teachings of family radio broadcaster Dr. Camping, these people took to the highways of America with the message that May 21st, 2011, was to be the day when believers would be captured and taken up into heaven, and those of us left behind would suffer horrendous disasters and even death. Now, I do not bring up this topic to mock their beliefs, and certainly not to make light of Christ's very true and imminent return. I bring this up to show how important it is to know just who we are following and where we are going. When our world is in turmoil and we are overwhelmed with the stresses and the strains of modern life, it is very easy to turn down a path and follow anyone who promises some kind of solution, certainly when that solution sounds as good as heaven itself. And it seems that every day new and different ways become available, each one promising a better life, a healthier bank account, or a surefire way to happiness. More and more, Christianity itself comes under fire and gets pushed aside for other, more immediate forms of spiritual gratification. So with all this noise and pounding in our ears, it's no wonder we long for someone to simply show us which way we should go. Praise be to our loving God and Father that He has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, who is just that. He is our way. He alone is our way, our truth, and our life. He is the one to follow, the one to trust, and the one who gives us new and eternal life. Now, my next story happened to me about a year ago, but I think a few of you with grown children can relate, and some of you with young children may sympathize too. My wife and I went with our two sons, who are both in their 20s, to the movies. It was over the holiday break, and as a tradition, we have usually gone to see one of the new holiday releases. It's something we've done every year since the boys were little. Now, it was dark, and there were many cars and people in the parking lot. So as we got out of the car and headed toward the theater, out of habit and out of reflex, I reached my hands out for the boys to take hold of. Of course, they did not take my hands. They didn't even notice that I had held them out, and I caught myself and quickly put them back into my coat pockets. Matthew and John certainly did not need me to hold their hands in the parking lot anymore. They hadn't needed to do that for over 10 years. But as a parent, it just comes naturally. For so many years, there was never a question. I put out my hands, and they grabbed hold. I led, and they followed. As any parent, grandparent, or teacher here today understands, this is simply what parents and guardians do. Because we love our children so much, we want to lead them out of danger and into safety. We want to make sure that they reach their goals with as little trouble and worry as possible. We want to make sure that they go the right way. Now, children, of course, grow up, and before long, they stop taking our hands and start going off on their own. They begin to make their own decisions, leading their own lives and leaving us parents standing in the parking lot with empty hands. And empty wallets, too, but that's another sermon. It doesn't matter, though. We still love, teach, protect, and guide them as best we can. Above all, we worry about them, and we pray to the Lord for His care, that He keep them safe, and that they find the right way in this world. It is certainly no secret that we live in worrisome and troubling times. Just read the paper, listen to the news, or look at CNN.com, and you will be bombarded with troubling items. The economy, natural disasters, political turmoil, threats of terrorism, and yes, even the end of the world. These all seem to fight for top position among things to worry about. Situations at home, at work, at school, or even at church can weigh us down and trouble our hearts, leaving us asking ourselves, where are we going, and how can we know the way? How welcome are the words of our Lord Jesus from today's gospel. Let not your hearts be troubled. believe in God, believe also in me. Our gospel comes from the book of John and from Jesus' last great teaching session for his disciples before he heads to the garden, to his betrayal, and to the cross. He is getting them ready for what is to come, not just for him, but for them as well. He knows that their roads will be long and hard, just like his. And he reassures them not to be troubled. Like the wonderful parent that he is, he uses this time to teach, to guide, comfort, and lead those he loves. He tells his disciples that he is going to his Father's house to prepare a place for them. Because this is where we are all meant to be, back in perfect union with our Heavenly Father, back in paradise. But it's just too much to comprehend for the 12, so Thomas, the practical one, expresses what the other 11 were wondering, as well as what we may be wondering today. How can we know the way? Just listen as Jesus gives Thomas, and us too, the only answer we need when our hearts are troubled and we don't know where to turn. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So where are we going? To be with the Father. Back to paradise. Back to that perfect pre-fall state of glory that we were created to be in. And how are we to get there? Through Christ and through him alone. His words are clear and precise. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way, the only truth, and quite honestly, the only life worth living. We recall here that one of the first names for the early Christians was followers of the way. That's the same thing as saying followers of Christ. And that's what we are today. We follow the way of Jesus, the way of humility, sacrifice, and forgiveness, the way of loving our neighbors, of loving our enemies, and of carrying their burdens. It is the way of his holy word, and it is the way of the cross, because it is only through the cross of Christ that our sins are washed away. By his all-encompassing sacrifice and his glorious resurrection, we are made clean, and we stand pure and holy before the Father. When God the Father sent his Son Jesus into our world to take on our flesh and to die for our sins, he reached down from heaven and united himself with us, just like a parent grabbing the hands of their children in a busy parking lot. He reached out with his Son to redeem us, to save us, and to bring us back to him. He gave us his Son. He gave us the way. Our sinful world has always offered alternate ways to find fulfillment, other ways to become successful or to find oneself. And while some of these may offer short-term feelings of happiness or quick earthbound relief, they do not offer the way to our Father in heaven. More often than not, they lead in a big circle, one that leads back to one's own self as the answer and as the way to righteousness. We will not be so deceived. The only way of righteousness, the only way to the Father, is through Jesus Christ, not through ourselves. In fact, once we are in Christ, we are in the Father as well. He tells us, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." So, how best to start on this Jesus way? Well, gathering here today is a pretty good place to begin. Here, gathered as his body, the church, and receiving his gifts, just as the early Christians, those followers of the way, gathered in the book of Acts, we too gather around the teaching, around the prayers, and around the Lord's Supper. Here, gathered as his church, God continues to reach down to us, like a loving father. He reaches down with his immense love to guide us and to keep us going along the correct and the true path, the path of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And that path, that way, will not be an easy one to follow. Scripture gives us no promise of that. In fact, it tells us quite the opposite. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, "The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life." So since the Jesus way is the way of the cross, the narrow way, we can expect Satan to rail against us with all his might and make things tough. Our New Testament account of Stephen makes this very clear. Stephen took the Jesus way, but the world did not want to listen. The words of life and salvation that Stephen preached angered the crowd, and they stoned him to death. But not before the Holy Spirit allowed him to look into heaven and see that glory that was waiting for him. It may sound a bit too unpleasant and even scary, but we do not fear. We are baptized children of God, united with Christ not only in his all-availing death on the cross, but also in his glorious and victorious resurrection. We are Easter beings, and we have overcome darkness, the darkness of sin and of death. And we have a life-saving message to tell, and we must get going. And when we get going down the path of Christ, when we start going the way of Jesus, wonderful things will happen. Our gospel tells us that we will do works that Jesus did, and we will do works even greater than that. Not because we are better than Jesus, by no means, but because he will use us, even sinners like you and me. So let Satan and the world try to trouble our hearts and minds. Let them shout and try to tell us that we are going the wrong way. We have no fear of death, no fear of being lost. We don't even fear the end of the world. We know where we are going. We are going the way of Christ. And because of all that he has done for us and what he will do through us, we are going to the Father. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.